We're going to share a message with you this morning that we pray will help you, will encourage you, and will give you some tools in your everyday life that some of us have had to learn the hard way. And so if we can help anybody along the way, then that's what we're here for. Amen?
We should go over some ground rules.
Ground rules. He's all about rules. He's about rules. I'm about breaking rules. I know that surprises you. But yes, let's go over the rules.
Okay, if I want to say something while you're talking, I need to touch your arm you know that I have something to say.
So you're not talking over the top of me?
Not talk over the top of you.
Okay, that's a great rule. And what's your other rule?
No dirty looks.
No dirty looks.
I can't give you a dirty look. Not that I would ever do that.
Oh, never.
And what's your rule?
My rule is that I'm not allowed to roll my eyes at him. And it is so hard. So very hard.
Okay. All right. Let's jump into this.
Okay.
Five
small things. You know, sometimes we get in a situation and we tend to think that it is bigger and more devastating than it is. And sometimes we can just make little tiny adjustments that cause the path of our life to go a different way. Isn't that right? I mean, think back to the time, I don't know if anybody else here has experienced this, but think back to the time that you gained weight. It started with one cookie. And then it went to two cookies, right? Okay, so it just takes little things to get us off course, and it just takes little things to get us back on course. Okay, so imagine, go in your imagination with me today. Go in your imagination with me just for a moment, and let's pretend for a moment that you've gone to the doctor with what you thought was surely a life-ending disease. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought, okay, this is going to be bad, this is going to be bad, I just know it is, I'm going to go, and this is going to be my day where they say, dun, 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 you know. And so, I mean, the pain is bad, and you can't sleep, and you're so uncomfortable, and it affects everything that you're doing. And so you go to the doctor, and after an examination and some blood tests, the doctor comes back, and he says to you, your blood tests have come back, and I'm happy to say that you're going to be fine. And in fact, if you follow these simple instructions, your health will be better than ever. Think about the relief. Oh my goodness, you're so relieved. And so you're relieved enough to say to him, of course, I can follow a simple plan. And so the doctor proceeds to tell you what the simple plan is. And even if you even if your health is good, who doesn't want their health to be better? So the message we're going to share with you today is not about your physical health, but about the health of your relationships. Your relationship with your spouse, your children, any relationship that you have. All of us in here have relationships, some relationship that could be better, that could use some tweaking. Some of us in here have relationships that have just imploded and are barely existing. Okay, so we're going to talk about that today and give you some tools. Proverbs 23:7 says, withhold no good thing from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. So what it's saying here in Proverbs, that if you have the power to do something, to make something better, you should do it. Don't withhold that. And when you think about your spouse, you think about your children, you think about the people that you love so much, and you have the capability of helping them, why would you not? If I knew that I had a medicine that I could give him to cause him to be healthier and better, why would I not do that for him? Amen? But we do this a lot. We are going to share with you five small things. That's the name of our message today. Five small things that you can do or say that can change a relationship. Write these things down on your note sheet. You all got a bulletin this morning. On the back of it, you'll notice that it's blank. And so what I want you to do is I want you to take that sheet of paper and I want you to number 1 through 5. And everything that we talk about, I want you to think about what relationships in your life this could be helpful with. Okay, you can take your notes on this and even be as bold as to maybe write somebody's name down. Yeah? This would really help my relationship with someone.
Can I say something here?
Sure.
You know, one of the things that we have to remember in this is that God established relationships. It's not something that we come up with or created. In the beginning, God said that it's not good that man should be alone. He didn't say it's not good that man should be single. He said it's not good that man should be alone. We're designed to have relationships. We can't succeed in life. We can't be everything that God created us to be in life without relationships. And you know, we've been doing this for 36 years, pastoring now. Whew, that's a long time. Pastoring for 36 mm-hmm. years. We've been married for 42 years, and I cannot
tell
you.
Now that's a really long time.
I cannot tell you how many people we see coming to the end of their lives uh-huh. with broken relationships, with no relationships, coming to the end of their lives, and they have alienated most people out of their lives, and it's just not right. We need to take steps now. Small steps.
Small steps.
Get us to big places.
That's right.
To restore, to redeem, to ensure that our relationships continue in a healthy way. So this is important, guys, to you and to your life and to your health and well-being.
That's right. And another warning to everyone and to ourselves as well, don't wait until it's time for the emergency room. Yeah. You know, that's what most people do. They wait until things are so bad that it's very, very hard to fix it. When things just begin to get off track, you know what that feels like. Things just don't feel right in your home for whatever reason, or maybe with your employer or your employees or whatever. That's the time to take these small steps and do small things while you can before you're in the emergency room. Okay? All right, so let's get started here. So these are the medicines that the doctor gave. I won't turn that around because I'm just going to do two, three. Okay. Isn't this cute? All right. Okay, so the doctor has said, here's the prescription for you. Here it is. And so these are just five small things. And if you'll take these for 30 days, things in your life will change.
All right.
Okay, I'd sign up for that. All right, so the first thing, think about in your relationship, when you think about the different relationships in your life that are, you know, struggle or aren't quite what you'd like them to be, think about what might happen if you were to say this. Number one, write this down. That was great how you, and then fill in that blank. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, and that just says it all. Death and life. You can either speak death into your relationship or you can speak life into your relationship. That's powerful. So you hold within your very being the power to make things different in your relationship. So you can't just stand there and say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. No, you do know what to do. And most times it lies within that little member that the Bible says can either give life or it can give death. The power of your words can change things. Everybody needs to hear positive feedback. Find ways to let your spouse or whoever that other person is know that you notice things that they do. That was a great meal that you made yesterday when you were so busy. Just little things. And if you haven't been doing this, when you begin doing this, there will be shock on their face. You know, that you said something nice like that. Or, you know, saying to your spouse or somebody, you work so hard at what you do and I appreciate it. Or no one could do what you do. You know, show that you are aware of their value and that you appreciate them. You know, we think it in our hearts, we think it in our minds, we see somebody and we appreciate them, but then it stops right there. We don't say it. We don't bring it out. There's many people in your life that you appreciate, but what's the last time that you told them that you appreciated them? It can be so discouraging to feel like no one notices what you do or the value of it. So remember, withhold no good thing. Yes?
You know, one of the five love languages is words of affirmation.
Yes, we know.
And since that is one of my love languages,
I thought
I would speak into that.
Okay, you know? Go ahead.
And it's not just a husband-wife thing. It's,
no.
It's true in any relationship.
Oh, your children.
Friendships.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, it's just so important that I know when she... when I get done preaching a message, I have all kinds of people come up to me and say, wow, that was a great message. The ones that don't think it was a great message don't bother telling me that, and they leave. But so that's all I hear is how great I am.
How great thou art.
But, you know, I can't wait to get home to find out what she thought about it. As much affirmation as I might get from you, I can't wait to get home and find out what she thinks about it, because she's the most important person in my life. So, you know, it's good to give those positive affirmations, those positive words of encouragement.
Studies show that it takes 5 positive comments to overcome 1 negative one. And this has got to be so true with our children. You know, we take our role as a parent very seriously. You know, it's our job to correct them. It's our job to discipline them. It's our job to, you know, teach them when they're doing things wrong and to train them. And so we spend a lot of time with them hearing things that could come across as negative. But when we, you know, we need to take the time and use our imagination in ways to tell them how good they're doing in certain ways. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, oh, that was wonderful the way you walked across the room. You know, I'm so proud of you. I'm not talking about all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about real stuff, real things when their character is being built in a positive way and they're making good decisions or, you know, things like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I fix your mic?
Sure, baby. Fix anything you want.
We'll see if that helps.
Okay.
All right, here's number 2. You can write this down. It's just a simple question. Something that will improve your relationship. Can you help me? I think that when you ask somebody for help with something, maybe it's a struggle, maybe it's a task, maybe it's just some area of your life or whatever, you become vulnerable to them. And I think when people feel like they are needed in your life, it improves your relationship. You're telling them you need them. You know, and so many times we just want to do it on our own. We don't want to waste our time. We don't want to open up. We've got pride issues, and that's true of men and women, not just men. But when you when you ask somebody for help, you are lowering your own pride and sufficiency, and you invite somebody in to help you. You include them. Maybe even there are certain areas in your life that you already know how to do it. You can get it done. But when you ask people to get involved with you, can you help me? It engages the relationship, and it makes other people feel like they're needed and they're important. You know, we just had the Restore Conference this weekend on sexual purity. And one of the things that we learned is that there are certain areas in our lives that we cannot get victory over unless we ask for help, unless we get help. So I want you to think about that just for a minute. That just seems so simple. Can you, asking someone to help you, but it's not just help, can you help me carry the groceries in the house? I need a little help here. You know, it's not like that. It's like areas in your life that maybe you're struggling with, maybe issues that you have in your life. And it just really came home to me this weekend when we were specifically talking about sexual purity and people that problem men and women have in the area of sexual purity and how it's impossible to get victory unless you get help, unless you open yourself up to get help. How many of you know we're better together?
Amen.
We're better with each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21 said, Paul said, and the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We need each other. No, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And here's another thing. Sometimes when you've been in a relationship for a while, we tend to forget that we need one another. Mm-hmm. And I know 42 years ago, we needed each other a lot.
Right.
And you tend to forget that you still need me.
No, I don't.
But that's what happens sometimes in relationships. We're around each other so much that we tend to forget that we need each other. We rely on each other. Here's another thing. Can I use teenagers as an example? This is family day. And this is not a slam against teenagers, because I was the same way. But you know, when you get into those teenage years, teenagers begin to think that they don't need their parents anymore. I did that. Mm-hmm. I think every teenager goes through that stage, and maybe that's a rite of passage. Maybe that's a stage that we need to have. But teenagers come to a place where they think in their minds they don't need their parents anymore.
Because we don't know anything.
Absolutely. Right? A few years ago, Simone said, "Daddy, you're my hero." She told me one time, "Daddy, I want to marry you when I grow up." She's 14 years old now, and I don't think she feels that way anymore. I think I'm her hero.
Well,
but I don't think she wants to.
She's 15 now.
Well, she's.
You might want to, you know. She's 15.
Are you serious? Yeah, I've been telling people all along she's 14.
Well, she was for a year.
All right.
Okay, see, that's good.
Ooh, I'm embarrassed.
She's not in here.
She's not 15. She's okay. Anyway. Okay, she's 15. You know, anyway, you know, teenagers get to that point where they don't think they need their parents anymore, but how many of you know that's not true? I mean, they need their parents now more than ever. So, you know, sometimes in our adult life, we carry that into our adult life that we think that we don't need anybody, mm-hmm. but we need each other. So, you know, yeah. It's okay. It's healthy for the relationship to show your vulnerability, to need help. Can you help me? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm struggling with this, or I'm having a hard time with this, or, you know, I don't know. I think it's good, even in teenagers' lives, you know, to include them, you know, to ask them to help you. And you know what that does? It teaches them to ask for help. Here's another thing. Once we've been hurt in a relationship, whether it's a marriage or it's a dating relationship or it's just a friendship, it's in all relationships, we throw up our walls and determine that we no longer need help. Bless God, I've been hurt by too many people, and I'm not going to be hurt by anybody again, so I'm not going to be vulnerable to anybody, and we throw up all these walls, and we try to live life without any help,
yep. And
it doesn't work. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking." I love that. He will not rebuke you for asking. And you know what? When we rely on each other and we ask for help, you know, most of the time we'll get it.
That's right.
Most of the time, I get it.
Okay.
So here we are, number three.
Number three. Write this down. I'm sorry I didn't.
Fill in the blank.
And then we'll fill in the blank. What would happen in your relationships if you were to say this, especially a spouse, especially your children? I'm sorry I didn't listen like I should have. Because so many times in relationships, we don't take the time to listen. We just take a whole lot of time to talk. And a whole lot of time to think and be defensive and think about what we're going to say. But how many times do we stop and say, okay, I didn't listen well enough. I'm sorry I didn't listen. Proverbs 1:5 says, "A wise man will hear and increase in his learning." So it's important that we learn about one another. It can just change everything. A person's greatest frustration can be feeling like they are not heard. Hey, turn around here. Yeah, yeah.
I'm listening.
Yeah, yeah. Listening can be really hard for some people.
Especially in the age of phones. How many of you are trying to carry on a conversation with your significant other and you're on the phone? You know what I've had to start doing when we go on our date nights? I have to leave my phone in the car. You know, just because I every time I, you know, we try to engage in a conversation, you know, I get in trouble. I pick my phone up, you know,
It doesn't even sometimes, Sometimes you just pick it up. And you know what you're doing is you're telling that other person that whatever else is going on in the world is more important than you. And it tells that other person that they're not exciting enough, they're too boring, whatever. I got to see what else is going on in the world. I can't listen to you. And so that's what you're actually telling that other person. And so it's hard, I know, with the whole phone situation. And, you know, if you have a tad bit of ADD, then, you know, the phone can really...
That was not a word of affirmation.
I said someone.
You know, if you have children and you have to keep a phone, you know, let your wife keep the phone or let the girlfriend keep the phone or whatever, and then you leave yours in the car so that you can have a great date. All those you go on date nights, then one of you leave the phone. The one who has the trouble, which is me, leave your phone in your car.
Okay.
It'll help you listen.
Or how about this? I'm sorry I didn't listen to your point of view. That was different from my own. Boy, don't we have a hard time with that. When somebody has an opinion and it's different than your own, you're going to defend your opinion and you're going to convince them that your opinion is right. How about not doing that? How about just saying, you know, I'm sorry. Okay, I want to hear your point of view. Or I'm sorry I didn't keep my word. This is a big one that we need to be able to say to our children, because there are so many times that we don't keep our word. We're not doing it on purpose, but we all different kinds of ways. I'm sorry I didn't keep my word. And, you know, it can just, somebody who's frustrated and upset on a scale of 1 to 10, they're clear up to 8 or 9 because you didn't keep your word. When you go and say, I'm sorry I didn't keep my word, it takes it right down to 0. You're like, okay, we can start over. I'm sorry I didn't realize how important that was to you. Sometimes people, we make decisions in our relationships and not taking the other person into consideration. I remember one time, this was a turning point in our marriage when both he and I are really good at purging and getting rid of stuff. Okay, so we are not collectors of things, and so one time years and years ago, he had a habit of getting rid of my things. Yeah, and it was really getting on my last nerve, you know. And I was getting somebody had given me something for my birthday, and it was a gift for my birthday, and he decided it was a piece of junk, so he threw it away. And you know, have you ever come to that point in your relationship?
This is just causing all kinds of guilt and shame to well up in me.
And it was just like, you know, have you ever been there where it was the straw that broke the camel's back? Okay. And he had thrown this thing away, and I was so upset, and because he said, I threw that away. It was just a piece of junk.
I'm sorry, I didn't know how important it was to you.
And then just walked away like it was nothing. And so I remember Nathan and Hillary were little. They were like 6 and 7 or 7 and 8. And we were getting ready to leave and to take them to school, and we were going to work. And so I just blew a cork. And so he goes on his way to finish getting ready for work. And so I went downstairs into the basement and got every piece of hunting equipment that I could find. Every piece, backpacks and bows and clothing and all this kind of stuff. And you know, sometimes when you get just so upset, you've got more adrenaline. You could lift a semi-truck off a baby. Have you ever felt like that? So here I am. I'm hauling all this stuff, up the basement steps. I opened up the back door and threw it outside. We had a cement patio. So things broke, and then went downstairs, and the kids, Nathan and Hillary, are sitting right there, standing right there, and they're just like, and they see what I'm doing, and Nathan's going, Mom, 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 don't do that, Mom. And I'm just throwing everything out. And
sad but true.
It was like a Hercules event that was happening. And so he gets, you know, and then I'm good then. And so we're standing there waiting for him. He comes out to go, and he goes, let's go, everybody. So we open the back door, and he sees all of his stuff. And he's like, are you kidding me?
I'm sorry.
My camera was in that backpack. My baby, baby, baby. I said, looked like junk to me. And so it was overkill. Okay, I realized that was overkill. And we both had some apologizing to do. But he didn't realize how much how important that was to me, that he have respect for my things. And so anyway, it made a big difference, didn't it?
It did. I learned a lot.
Yeah, but I didn't ever do that again. It was, in hindsight, it was not a good thing to do. It cost us a lot of money to replace that stuff.
Well, I didn't have to replace it all, and I thought it was a really good point. So guys, if you come home and your clothes are out the window and all over the front yard, your wife's trying to tell you something. How about this one? I'm sorry I didn't take your feelings into consideration.
Okay. Yes. Good job. Good job. So many times it takes very few words, to change the tide of a relationship. So just remember that, because things can feel like, oh man, this is bad. Things are going bad, and I don't know how we're ever going to get out of this mess. And sometimes it just takes little corrections to make the pathway change. Here's number four. Can I help you? Write that down. Offer your time. Offer your listening ear. Sometimes we think that we have to have the answer. We have to, you know, in order to help someone who's hurting, in order to help somebody that we know needs help, we have to be an expert. No, all you have to do is care and say, is there some way I can help you? Offer your time. It doesn't have to be your area of expertise to help. Men, let me just say this. Men, this is not your opportunity to jump in there and fix the little woman. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about? Men like to fix things. It's in them. It's just, you know, they have all the answers. They have all the tools. They're going to fix the little lady, you know. No, she's not broken. She just needs your help. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so an example of helping her might be, can I help you by listening or can I help you by doing? Which one of those would you like for me to do? And then if she says, I just need you to listen, then just listen. And believe me, there's been times that I have said to him, I just need you to listen to me. And he needed everything but duct tape to do it. You know, because he's a fixer. And I mean to tell you, there's not anything he doesn't know how to fix and doesn't know how to do. And so, of course, he probably had all the answers, but that wasn't what I needed. I just needed for somebody to listen to me spew. Yes, dear.
You know, I remember we grew up in the 60s and the 70s. You know, we were in junior high in the 60s and graduated in the early 70s. And the Beatles had a song.
We were singing that all day when we, I thought it was hilarious, but anyway.
Here's this where I want to say in Genesis 2:18, it says, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. We all need help.
That's right. We do.
It's not just the woman is the only helper. It's we need each other. We need help. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's the last one. And I want to talk about, here's a saying that you can say, or a sentence that you can say to build a relationship. I'm sorry I let you down. There's nothing wrong with admitting you're wrong. And let's face it, we all mess up. Mm-hmm. Every one of us in here have messed up. We all make mistakes. And you know what? It won't hurt you to admit that. It won't kill you to admit that you messed up. Man, when you mess up and you know it, take responsibility for it. We live in a culture where nobody wants to take responsibility for anything. You know, well, I wouldn't have done that if this, or I wouldn't have done that if you, or I wouldn't have done that if this. You know, let's just Say we're sorry. What's so hard about saying you're sorry? I let you down. I disappointed you. I wasn't there for you. It's okay to.
My turn.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know if you guys remember when Dave and Chris Toyne were here and they did the Father's Love Conference and they talked about love with a hook. And that's what this is an example of, saying that I'm sorry that I let you down, but
yeah.
You blah, blah, blah. There's the hook. You're throwing out love and then you're hooking it and throwing it back on them. Mm-hmm. So we have to not do that. No buts involved. You know, that's what we're famous for doing with our children. I'm sorry I lost my cool. I'm sorry I yelled at you this morning. But if you would just get up on time and get yourself ready for school, this wouldn't happen. Okay, that's not going to work. It's not going to resolve anything. Okay.
Cool.
Love with a hook.
I know that you probably tried to think of a few times that you let me down. Did you come up with anything?
Well, he asked me to think of some times that I had let him down. And I thought 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 and I thought. And I couldn't think of anything.
I'm sorry I let you down. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, healing can't take place until you get things out in the open, until you
That's
admit
right.
you're wrong, I screwed up, I made a mistake. When you do it with Jesus, he forgives you. When you do it with somebody that you're in a relationship, they will forgive you. You know, I know the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath, but I know that we have had arguments in the evening and we didn't get it taken care of. We went to bed, we went to sleep, and there is nothing more powerful in the morning when you come downstairs together and you sit down in your favorite chairs and you admit that you're wrong. To hear a spouse say, you know what, last night was my fault. I take responsibility for it, and I let you down, and I'm sorry. I mean, there's not a bigger healing balm than when you have done wrong in a relationship to take responsibility for it. And you know what, maybe you haven't done it for several years, and maybe the wedge is deep, maybe the gulf is big, and maybe the first time you do that, it's not going to get the results that you want. But if you foster that kind of a relationship, if you foster that kind of taking responsibility in the relationship, it'll be just like when you go to the Lord. You know, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. If I admit that I'm wrong, that I did wrong, Jesus forgives me. If I keep it in, if I don't take responsibility for it, there's no forgiveness. There's no redemption. Proverbs chapter 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer is, I'm sorry. I let you down. I screwed up. Now here's something else you need to know. Is once a conversation turns to anger or defensiveness, which is the opposite of taking responsibility, then people stop listening and they stop learning and they stop experiencing what they need to hear. In our current society, in our current culture, with all the stuff that's going on social media, as it relates to almost any area of our lives, people venting against each other, getting angry with each other, getting defensive with each other. When you get angry and defensive in any kind of relationship, you quit listening and you quit learning. Especially in relationships that you care about, let's just say face-to-face relationships, you know, when you get angry and defensive, you quit being a part of the solution. But when you can come back and say, admit that you were wrong and apologize for letting someone else down, there's just a healing balm that manifests. Because the reality is we're all going to let each other down. We've
That's
been
right.
married 42 years and we still let each other down. I probably do it a little more than she does, but we do let each other down. Whether you're a spouse, whether you're a parent, whether you're a child, an employee, an employer, we're all going to make mistakes. We're
That's
human
right.
beings. We carry this human element. We have human frailties.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the word?
Yeah.
So quit letting your pride destroy the good in your relationships. And again, it comes back to just being able to take responsibility in a relationship. Well, you know, the reason I'm angry and mad is she just doesn't ever do what she's supposed to do. And she's always saying, stop. Stop. If you did something wrong, it doesn't have anything to do with what she did or what she didn't do. Take responsibility. You're the one who did it. You're the one that got angry. You're the one that got mad. You're the one that brought the offense. Take responsibility for it. And remember this, guys, as we bring this to a close. So many relationships can be restored or greatly improved by doing some of these small things. Let me say this to close my part. Our way out of big issues is by taking small steps. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you overcome some of the big issues that you have relationally? By taking small steps. So we've given them five. Uh-huh. Number one, that was great how you were there for me. That was great how you handled the kids. That was great how you did this. The second one is opening up and being vulnerable to each other. Can you help me? I need your help.
You know, something that I'm just going to back up a minute on that. Can you help me? One of the things that we didn't mention is a real turning point in our marriage early on was, you know, let's face it, men and women are different from each other. They don't get one another just automatically. They don't understand how each other thinks just automatically. And earlier in our marriage, we are very much opposites. One of the things that he said to me was, help me understand. Can you help me understand why this is such an issue? And so it was like a real turning point for us, because instead of just banging heads all the time, he said to me, help me understand so that I don't blah, 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 whatever. He did, you know, it was a simple thing.
Okay. Then number three is, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I didn't mean to take you for granted. I didn't mean to be dismissive to you. I didn't mean to act like your feelings are not important. I don't care whether it's a wife, husband, kids, any kind of relationship. I'm sorry. Take responsibility.
I'm sorry I threw your stuff away.
And number four, can I help you? What can I do? How can I help? You know, we're fighting about this thing, but I understand you're under some stress. I understand that you're going through a difficult time. How can I help? What can I do? Do you want me to listen or do you want me to fix? That's something that you taught me, is because I do want to fix things, and I do want to just kind of be dismissive by telling you, well, if you just do this, it'll be okay. Or if you do this, then, you know, my wisdom will help you get out of this problem. And I know that, and it really helped me. Sometimes, you know, the way that I can help the most is just listen and keep my mouth shut.
And you can tell sometimes he's sitting there listening, thinking, I can't believe you don't know the answer to this, because I know the answer to this.
But
you don't say it.
Or sometimes when, you know, your wife or your husband is, or anybody in your relationship with, is telling you something about that's going on in their life, and you're thinking about what you're going to say as soon as they're done talking. And that's not listening. So can I help you? And then last but not least, the most powerful is, I'm sorry I let you down. I won't do that again on purpose.
Okay.
Five things. That
five
was great.
Things.
How are you? Can you help me? I'm sorry I didn't. Can I help you? I'm sorry I let you down. Let's all stand.